to be challenged. Amen? That's what the man of God comes for. That's why God brings a voice. A man of God, prophet, speaking to us. To challenge us. To shake us loose from the things of this world and bring us into the alignment of the things of God. And I'm glad tonight that God has sent our brother David Hogan here to this house to challenge us once again to realize that there are many out there that are lost and that God has called us in this hour to reap a harvest, an abundant harvest, and to make disciples and see people released back into ministry. This is this man's heart. And I believe that God has brought him here to deposit an impartation of that here, of what is in his ministry here in the Northwest. Because that's our heart. I hope that's your heart. Amen. And let's just welcome him as he comes right now, the man of God, Brother David Hogan. Amen.
Yeah. Just stay up. Let's go ahead and give Jesus glory, please. Holy Ghost. Come on. Thank y'all. Thanks. If you will, have a seat and get your Bibles, please. My son-in-law is still here. He didn't run off because of the heat. Brother Sean, will you please stand up? Sean Williams. Those songs y'all were singing are Brother Joel Stockstill. He's out of that church. The whole family, all those people are friends of ours. So, how y'all today? Y'all hadn't had enough to eat? When y'all get to get over it? I called them over there in Mexico a while ago, and they was pretty happy. It was clouding up to rain. Dropped it around 100 degrees. Pretty nice. Holy Ghost. If you will, turn over to Romans. Now, it's all right with y'all. Actually, it don't have a whole lot to do with you. Just being nice. We're going to take another step into this fire direction. Most Christians in America are comfortable driving your SUV around, going to your Cinnabon in the mall, eating your Great Wall Chinese every now and then, with your little steamed vegetables here and there, speaking in tongues and letting the music play soft in your house. You think that's the gospel? It's not. The gospel is Jesus hanging on a tree, marred more than any man. And they put him in a tomb, and God's power raised him from the dead. That's the gospel. That is the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Now over here in Romans. Now Miss Hogan and all them are down here right now having a little prayer meeting about this meeting here. She's convinced heaven's coming. And I'm convinced we're going to give him opportunity. So we'll see. Holy Ghost. I woke up with another bucket full of courage this morning. So I guess I'll just go ahead and not be intimidated by any sissy in here. Them fakes, they bad. Because I'm used to running around with the Holy Ghost. I was there the other day in Louisiana. And they of course I know when the crawfish run. Do y'all know anything about that? Do you know when the salmon run? They're right offshore. Surely you know that. Well, the crawfish run in early March. And you can eat all you want. They never run out. I just happened to be there when they started running. Because I knew that they ran in the second week in March. And I wanted to be there to eat my share. So I was down south of Interstate 10. Y'all ever heard of it?
Yeah.
This is where 90 stops. You should go see how far it is to where 10 stops. It's a long ways down there. But in the state of Louisiana, there's crawfish down there in them swamps. Man, I was eating so many, you wouldn't believe it. Pounds of crawfish. Oh, are they good? Sure was. And I went to church, this church. First Assembly of God in Jennings, Louisiana. Jennings is south of the Interstate 10. It's right before you get to the Gulf of Mexico. And I mean, there was some crawfish. Everywhere you went, there's somebody boiling crawfish. Man, that was good. But that morning, we was there. And the place was fairly packed out. There were several hundred people. We was having church, you know. And this one thing that stuck out at me the most. Lots of people got saved. I want to say there was something like 32, 33 people there. That's an addition, you know. That's a good thing. They got born again. Got along great with everybody down there just because I sucked the heads of the crawfish. And I chew the lobster raw. See, I just lost all you Cinnabon Starbucks. I bet y'all ain't even got a knife in y'all's boot either. Something wrong with y'all, man. Holy Ghost, y'all okay? Everybody all right? How you doing, Brother Jason? Hadn't seen you in a while. You doing all right? My hair grew a little bit, but I'm still serving God. Got a meeting with some Muslims, ex-Muslim freedom fighters now. So we got to put a turban on and stuff. I want to know. Oh, I don't see any rags down here. That seems to me like that's not the right thing. You going to make me ask for them? Okay. Rags, please. I want to know, I seriously do, it's okay to be matter of fact and systematic. Y'all good with that? Because I'm after a particular raise in energy. You understand? I'm after a particular raise. Now look, don't go Starbucks on me here. Just ask for rags. I didn't ask for a whole bunch of socialite in here. Yeah. Somebody's taking a chance. That's a nice hat, too. It's too little for me. It might fit Miss Hogan, though. I apologize to you. I'm not in the bind for time or not stressed out or not in a hurry. The only thing that's important is Jesus. We've got to have Jesus, y'all. Somebody threw a shoe at us. Well, that's all. That went a sock. Holy Ghost. I see y'all in y'all's Bibles up here. Do you think you know these verses I'm fixing to go to? You might not, because you spend too much time at Starbucks. My son-in-law told me I was going to get a letter from Starbucks if I didn't watch out. They ain't got to worry about me. I ain't never going in there and eating nothing. They ain't got a thing in there I like. We was the other day in Branson, Missouri, no, in Springfield, Missouri. We went into a place, and I like this place. It's called the Nutty Monkey. Y'all go like it, it'll catch on. It's frozen custard and frozen yogurt and all that kind of stuff. Man, it's good, but not as good as crawfish heads. Are y'all in Romans? I really feel the power of heaven. I mean, I was sitting over there, because I sit there every time, and I discipline myself to not be aggressive. I want to start out slow and go, but it just, I'm sitting there, and I stuck my hands up that last time they went up on that worship, and I got blasted. So it's not my fault, see? I was all calm and everything, as far as I can be. We got into a fight with the devil the other day, and I was explaining to my son-in-law my side of the fight. And he just looked at me and said, "Brother David, you're always tacked up." And I just looked at him, "Thank you, Sean." But I have thought about it after traveling a few thousand miles. I'd rather be tacked up than a non-cranking engine with dead batteries and bad oil. Burn up clutch, no tires, and single traction car like most of y'all drive around. I just got me another work truck. What's the first thing you order on a work truck? I already got four-wheel drive. That comes standard. You don't order that. What do you get? You take that rear end out and put a Detroit locker in there. Yeah. Where everything on the floor is grabbing. My son-in-law told me, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, he says, "Found it. We're in." All right. Holy Ghost, how y'all doing? So am I. I went walking down one of y'all's railroad tracks today. I like to pick up spikes and carry them and get my load heavier the further you go. Do you understand? You getting it yet? It helps you to burn more calories. So as you start out, you're fresher. But as you go and you're weakening, but you're adding to the power, the problem, which causes you to strain longer, which makes you build better. Y'all don't get it. See, you don't understand working out. But see, prayer and walking with God's the exact same way. If it don't cost, you're not going to get nothing. Romans chapter 4. I don't even know the name of the railroad track I was on. But we was on it anyway. He was running, I was walking. Holy Ghost. Now then, last night, do y'all remember anybody what the first fire brings in the Bible? Judgment. Last fire. Okay, now, who is the father of our faith? Good. See, a little bit of your teaching works. They are answering the questions right. Can I drink this water? Thank you. Why did I ever tell y'all about Jennings, Louisiana? How come y'all not interested enough to find out? I remember that story is not over. Why didn't somebody say, hey, enough with Starbucks. What about Jennings, Louisiana and the crawfish? You people, now, you personally opened this water, right? Seems like I saw you. Well, that's important. Life's important. Who does what in your life is important. But in that prayer line, there was this lady. Now, see, look how pretty y'all all look. You're just fresh. You say, man, I feel like a wilted leaf. Look, that's not my fault. You still look fresh. Come on, Holy Ghost. But you see, unless you get to the point that lady was at, there ain't much need for a fella like me. I'm too hard for you. Too aggressive. Too out there. I exact too much from you. I expect you to respond to the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. See, if you want success, that's what I expect. But this lady, I noticed her. She was a little bit nervous because I was so aggressive. Now, listen to me. You came prepared, didn't you? Where'd you get all them clothes? Just take them from somebody off the street? Or? Okay. You're doing great. Yes, ma'am. Probably don't need no flannel shirt tonight. But maybe by daylight. But there was a lady standing over there on the left side, y'all. Y'all understand y'all? My mule understands that word. Because I tell him all the time, y'all better be doing right, mule. Because he's lots of them in there. He's multiple mules. Because 1 minute he's one way and the next minute he's another one. Serious. Like a lot of people, you know. You never know who you're dealing with. But see, that lady was sitting over there upside the wall dying, see? We was all having a good time, but she wasn't. She had osteoporosis advanced. That's not good. She had advanced diabetes. That made all of her veins and arteries and stuff brittle. And her vision, she couldn't see good. She had real thick glasses, she couldn't see good. And then she had rheumatoid arthritis. She was in serious pain. And I finally got over there to her. And I looked her right in the face. I mean, it's easy. You know, people think we're all discerning and everything. But I mean, your face shows a lot. Wait till you get the bill for this wet handkerchief. Nah, there won't be one. Holy Ghost has paid me in full. He lets me love Jesus. And that's something. And I asked that lady, what do you need? What do y'all think her response was to me? She's leaning up against the walls, and there's two guys that are trying to hold her from so she can converse with me. Because the pain is so... She's serious. She's serious. And I just walked over there, same old me that I am everywhere else. Except for on that mule. Now things change, you get on that mule. You got to match whichever mule shows up. And I asked her, what do you want? Now listen to her response to me. It's very important that you hear this. She ain't heard a thing I said that I talked about. But she said, please help me, Brother David. I stared back and looked at her and smiled. Yes, ma'am. I'll do my best. Now, I want to tell all of you something. If you'll give God your best, that's all He wants. He don't expect anything else out of you but your best. That's all. But He wants it all the time. Not when you are in the mood to give it. Hello? All right. Laid my hands on her, and the lady and the ushers and everybody just went ahead and got knocked out. And when she came to, that woman, which was actually, it was 3 hours and a few minutes. When she came to, the diabetes was gone. Osteoporosis was gone. Rheumatoid arthritis was gone. That's a good thing. And I saw her that night. She came up in there. And she came over there, and I saw her to be the same person. What I saw was the same frame. But it was not the same God person. Her spirit had been changed. Her body had been healed by the Holy Ghost. I'm going to come on at you. You ready? You think you're ready? We're going somewhere, and I just want to see if there's anybody who wants to go. Last night, there's a couple that was interested. See how we do tonight. Let me just say this. With all honesty, I am not mad at you. I mean, you, just look at me. I'm happy. I am going to destroy the works of the devil. That makes me a happy fellow. That lady hugged me and kept on hugging me. And I finally looked at Miss Hogan. You hug her a while. Because I'm not your best huggy fella. Spend as much time after Jesus' neck as you do other people's, and you'll do a lot better. Y'all in Romans 4 yet? It's taking y'all a long time. Can I read out the Amplified? Brother Wallace, you all right with it? So you got to get permission. Now, I know he's going to give me permission. That is not the point. It's the consideration of authority.
Amen.
It's the respect. It's the integrity that it implies and demands. Isn't that something? You should take note of those kinds of things. They're important to heaven. Also, did you notice I didn't call him Robert? His name is Brother Wallace. I need to show him respect so that some of y'all will pick up on that. That's another teaching, though. We'll do that another time, maybe. But you don't know if you want to hear my covenant teaching now, I'm telling you. Now, that thing is serious. Well, it ain't much more serious than the one we're into right now, if I'd go ahead and unload on you. Stay there. You stay in suspense, you do fine. You get to where you know what's coming, you'll be trashed. Because the devil sends you a fake, and you'll think it's a real thing. I'm going to get started in a minute. Just some thoughts are coming to my head that seem right to talk about. Romans 4, verse 16. Amplified version. Therefore, inheriting the promise. Is that what we're after? Are you truly after the promise? Are you after the blessing the promise brings? I believe that needs to be sorted out. Now, I'm not going to sort that out. I wouldn't judge you over anything. I don't care if you have 100 Mercedes-Benz, neither does heaven. It matters that you chose God and He blessed you because of your right choice. It says, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith. Your gifts, your abilities, your good standing in the community, your ability to reason in a nation where a cotton-picking tick can be successful. Don't make you bad. What makes you bad is walking with the Holy Ghost in faith. What makes you bad is when you can look at osteoporosis and tell it, Jesus is King in here. See it. And it obeys you. Now that's bad. That's a great Holy Ghost. That's amazing. Therefore, inheriting the promise is outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith. In order that it might be given as an act of grace. See, you believe that if you sing the right song, that's a work, that heaven will touch you. You believe if you quote the right verse at the right time, heaven will respond to that. Heaven responds to faith. If the verse you're singing is faith, he'll hear it. If the Bible you're quoting is faith, he'll hear it. It doesn't matter how many times you quote. His promises are yes and amen. I'm the head and not the tail. It matters how many times you say it in faith. Now y'all looking side to side. That's good. Now you're nervous. You should be. We're going in. And we're going to have the courage to do it. In order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor, to make it stable and valid. Hello? Stable and valid. You've never met men of power that seem stable to you. There's always something about them that drives you up the wall. And you just can't put your finger on it. But they keep doing what they do. Keep walking in faith. Keep walking in the guarantee of inheritance. Shiatane. And they don't care what you think about them. I'm around these people all the time. I know what I'm talking about. It says in my Bible, stable and valid and guaranteed to all descendants, his descendants, not only to the devotees and adherer to the law, but of those who share the faith of Abraham. There you are. Without it, you can't have the power. Now then, how come Abraham got so much his name in print so many times? What did he do that impressed heaven? Do you or do you not want the power of God? Can you walk in the stability of faith? Can you walk in the guarantee of devotion? Wow. New words for you. Well, let's drop back over here where Abraham lived, back in the book of Genesis. And let's look at a couple of verses. Now, I am not sitting here trying to teach you some newfangled fancy revelation. I am simply going to read the Bible and ask you a couple of questions and let your own self be satisfied. Fair enough? I'm a mule rider. I'm not some sort of fancy revelation fella. When I was walking down the halls the other day in the Pentagon, and I was looking at all the national heroes we've got. Every one of them's up on them walls. Everybody, your hair, there's so much power in there. The hair on your body just stands right up and you just tingle. It's amazing. Some of you have never even felt God that way. And yet there is an institution on the planet, a man-made building that generates self-perpetuating power. And it represents you. And you don't even know it. Amazing, huh? I'm pretty impressed with the power of man. And I'm sitting there that night looking into the eyes of the subdirector of the CIA. And you know what he said to me? You can help me, can't you? And I looked at him. I was just in that building. I felt the power of it. I know why men succumb to it. It's real. It's real. And I looked at him. How you work with one of the greatest institutions in the world. What do you need with a mule rider, son? He said, I walk with the greatest men on the planet. And you're the first man I've ever met that I think could heal me. See? It matters, don't it? That you're stable in the Holy Ghost. Because it don't matter. That one lady that God actually did the actual movement to get us in there, she had 5 doctorates and 3 masters. Is that right? Did y'all just hear what I said to you? What? Jeez, man. She walked up to me in the prayer line. This lady has 5 doctorates. She works in the Pentagon with the Joint Chiefs. She's smart. She brings me a little baby. Let me rephrase that. To me, it's about a 12-year-old young boy. She's got her hands on him. And I admire her because of her accomplishment. She's just phenomenal. And there's one like her on the planet, I imagine. She's probably the best. Somebody will come and take her place, but right now I don't know them. Maybe I'll get to know him. But you know what she said? She's sitting there patting him on the shoulders and smiling at me. Now, she said, Brother David. Yes, ma'am. And I did say ma'am to her also. Some people smarter than they look. She said, this young man was born with club feet. And I looked down there. I saw him bring him up there, but I didn't know why. And I knelt down and took one of his cloths off. He was a mess. Feet was twisted and gnarled. And I raised up and looked at her. I said, what do you want with me? See, now it's a different ball game, isn't it? Now we're not in the Pentagon. Oh. Now we're on my playing field, aren't we? Now you glad I ride a mule. And you glad heaven has taught me that that's what I do for a living. Otherwise, it could get serious, could it? Maybe. Just could. Oh, the Holy Ghost is here. This is a good idea. And I looked at that little old boy, and he's tearing. He's tearing. Y'all up the balcony, you ain't forgotten. He's tearing. I said, what do you want, son? You watch what that little old boy said. He said the same thing that lady did in Jennings. Now watch. Help me, Brother Dave. And I cocked back and looked at him, put my fingers right here in my blue jeans, and just looked at him and smiled. All right, son. I'll do my best. And I reached and got him, took him out of the doctor's hands. And I'm holding him. I don't know how long it was a few minutes. I apologize. I get carried away sometimes. Time don't matter, it seems like. In most cases. And then heaven hit us, both of us. Hit the boy and hit me. I just couldn't believe heaven would mess with me like that. I got 150 more people to pray for. Heaven just acting like that was the last one. Just can you get over it? I just can't understand how he thinks he's in charge. See? Go figure that. I mean, last night there's 30 or 40 people left, and I looked at them. I'm going home. Five more people, I'll be laid out here and I'll be here at daylight. I'm going home. Brother David, God ain't like that. Your God ain't like that. My God does whatever He wants to, and He does it when He wants to. Because I didn't see that little boy no more. I never got back up. They had to carry me out, throw me in the car. Toted me home, put me in the hotel. Miss Hogan couldn't do it by herself. Next thing I know, I woke up, I was at the hotel, and I asked Miss Hogan, how do we do this? She said, tell you in the morning, let's go to bed. Went back to service that morning. That was a Saturday night. And went back to service on a Sunday morning. Holy Ghost. And I'm sitting in my chair just like always. I was brought in. Sit down just like I always do. I like that. I like that submission. I like that being told what to do. Because I expect you to do that when you're in my work. So I do it voluntary when I'm in other people's works. And so, there's this little boy walked up to me. I didn't recognize him. Brother David, thank you. And I looked at him. You're welcome, son. And why do I owe this thank you for the gratitude? What did I do for you? I said, Brother David, I was the fellow you prayed for last night that was born with club feet. I said, let me see. He stuck his foot up there on my leg, and it was straight like mine. You can go ahead with your life how it is. Me and you both know you're not happy. But you got to defend yourself, see? You feel like you're obligated to do that. But I'm not fighting you. I'm after a spirit that's hurting you and hindering you. Stopping the power of God from you. I'm not after you. Except for one thing. Holy Ghost anointing. Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to get there in a minute, Sean. I'm working on it. For some reason, I'm just not in a hurry. I don't know what's the matter with me here. I'm always in a hurry. In that very same service, there was a blonde-headed lady. Her back broke, got run over. They hit her, put a hit on her, got her, worked at the Pentagon. Don't know her rank. They wouldn't tell me. Probably one of they. But that's just assumption because of the way things went. But we all know what assumption is. Genesis 22:1. That lady got her back broke. She had three broke, protruding vertebrae and five destroyed discs. You heard me? Laid our hands on her. I wouldn't hold her because what happened night before? I stayed back a little bit so I could get more people prayed for. The Holy Ghost hit her and took her and the ushers. And I smiled. I'm still on my feet. Yeah, that's a good one. She woke up sometime later. She had a brand new back. Come to find out that the smartest scientists in the world and doctors had worked on her. And Jesus is who gave her her new back. Now we're going for it. You ready? Unbuckle. You don't want any security. You want heaven. After these events, God is okay in Amplified again. Because it's going to be a little bit aggressive. You're all right with Amplified? God tested and proved Abraham. That's what y'all don't believe happens. But it says it right in the Bible. It said to him, Abraham, now it's important what you say when God speaks. What did Abraham say? Say it again. Get used to those words. Don't, when God pricks your heart, because everybody in here is looking for that Saul experience on the road to Damascus, where God comes shining in and knocks you off your horse, pins you down on the road and makes you change. That's not what he wants. That is not the walk of faith. That is the walk of rebellion. Saul was in rebellion when God hit him like that. A few days later, he was in submission. He heard the voice of God. And God said, go to so-and-so and he'll lay hands on you and you'll be healed. He said, yes, sir. 3 days. Three. How long has it taken you? How many years has it been? Well, I'm working on it. No, you're not. You're working on how to get around it. You're working on loopholes where you can have the power of God but have things your way anyhow. It ain't going to happen. Our father Abraham didn't hunt loopholes. He hunted his best way to obey. And we're going to look at that right now. Fixing to have fire. This fire is called... Y'all hate this word. Sacrifice. Now then, at this point in Abraham's life, in chapter 22 of Genesis, verse 1, when God approached him, who was he? Abraham, I mean. That was the question, and it was in English. Come on, respond. Come on. Abraham, that's true. Abraham. But who is he? What's his position in life? He is a king. He is a man of power and prestige and influence. Wealth. He wasn't after God and obeying God for money like you. He was after obeying God to please God. And to do that, you're going to have to sacrifice. Well, I'm out. I'm in. I've paid, and I'll pay again. The breath I breathe is borrowed. Every tick of this heart in here is borrowed. He lends it. He lets me have it. Long as I'm seeing, it's okay with Him. He lets me see. Thoughts, patterns. It says in my Bible, God said, take now your son. Uh-oh. Now see, I just got to bother you, haven't I? Because what y'all do is you do take your sons, but you take them in your SUV to the mall. And you drop them off, and you let the mall raise your kid. But God specifically told Abraham, you take your son. You don't let children's church workers raise them. You don't let nursery care workers raise them. You don't let neighbors raise them. You take your son. Is that what it says? But they don't know what's wrong with my boy. Yeah, how many days you left him to the mall? It don't matter how many quarters you feed him. Them machines are endless. Brother Hogan, you can't go down these trails you're walking on. Let's do it. Hit the shelf. I'll put one of mine up against any of yours. I'll put one of mine up against a dozen of yours. Because I took him to the mountains. You understand that? And both of us are here worshiping God. Quit fearing. Heaven loves you. Heaven's best interest is in your success. God is not somebody you're in competition with. Heaven is a dictator. Take your son, whom you love. God gave him the love for that boy. Now he's asking him to challenge that love. See, y'all don't like to talk about these subjects. And I have found things that sensitive to you needs talking about. And here's the reason why. Because you'll pack up your SUV and carry your tithe somewhere else. God will put 10 in your place that's interested. Money don't run the house of God. The Holy Ghost does. So, take your son and let's go to Moriah. Woo! Brother David, back up, son. We're only in verse 3. We're just getting going. So Abraham arose early in the morning. A king, a wealthy man, a millionaire, a standing army. He feeds with his faith. You hear me? You can do it. You can feed them with your faith. You can. It don't matter if they send 5 kings out against you. It matters that you get out there and saddle your donkey and say, let's go get them, boys. And don't ever look back and see who went with you. Because God's with you. That's enough. Shiatani. You want to meet Melchizedek? Go to war. And you will. Woo! He got up early. He didn't sleep in because he deserved it. Because his caffeine wore off and he was tired. Holy Ghost don't wear off. Any of these young men that run with me and my wife, included hundreds and hundreds of people, can attest to you, they think I'm bionic. I'm Jesus. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. You hear me? Abraham rose early. And what did he do? Give orders? No. He saddled his donkey. He went over there at the woodshed, picked up an axe. He knew where he was going. He is going to sacrifice. You need wood. He didn't have a servant do it. Can anybody tell me why? Excuse me. Wood is future fire. And it takes people with fire to split the wood. Because people without fire don't see any need for wood. You hear me? Yeah. Abraham rose in the morning and saddled his donkey and took 2 of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He split the wood. Important work. Work. Millionaire. King. Soldier. Split the wood. And they began the trip. He didn't wait till the trip got going to figure out what he might need for the trip. He planned ahead. He thought ahead. He figured it out. I'm going to need this for the trip. And he got it together. And he saddled that donkey. He split that wood. He put it all in order and set it on the donkey. And then he began the trip. Lots of you get in the prayer line. God touches you. You just take off on a trip. Where are you going? Oh, no, man, I'm going with God. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. You burn clean out. You got no wood. You got no fire, no sacrificial knife, no donkeys, no servants, and you don't have a sacrifice. That's why you lose. Bad planning. I am as courageous and energetic and on fire as 20 of you, probably more. in the morning looking for devils? Because they're there. Why you go hunting them? Because they're there. Leave them alone. They need bothering. Got to find them so you can bother them. Verse 4. 3 days later, Abraham looked up and saw the mountain. Verse 5. Abraham said to the servants, y'all settle down here with the donkey. Now, this was a real question to me. Why did he take the wood off the donkey and why did he put it on Isaac? Y'all evidently don't take the Bible apart like I do and wonder about these things so you can figure out how to get a hold of stuff. You got to teach the next generation not only the importance of sacrifice, but you got to teach them the importance of work to get to the sacrifice. And it is your responsibility to teach your house. You want me in the prayer line to do it all at once because you deserve it, praise the Lord. If you got what you deserve, you'd wake up in hell before daylight. It's mercy, the reason we're standing here. It's mercy, the reason God lets you have His mercy, His power and touch. It's not because you're owed anything. He loves you because He wants to. His choice. And for me, I'm grateful He did. He does. See how quiet y'all are? We're in the right house, in the right trail. Y'all settle down. Me and the young man, we're going to go yonder and we're going to worship and come to you again. A lot of emphasis by you faith people is put on that last phrase. Me and the boy will come back to you again. Prove to me the man knew that. I can prove to you in a couple of verses he didn't. Had him bound and fixed to cut his throat. God stopped him. But it's for your convenience. So you'll have a way out. When the sacrifice gets heavy enough, you can back away from it. Oh God, God, blame it all on heaven. When who knows if you draw that knife or not? Because you never got there. Because you haven't split the wood. And there's something else you don't have. What did he carry in his hand? True. Abraham himself, the significance of our father of faith, carrying the fire himself, will echo through time immortal. And you have never seen it. You must carry the fire. You must split the wood for the next generation. You must take the time to show them how. Took the wood. Abraham took the wood and laid it on the shoulders of Isaac, his son. Took the fire pot in his own hand. It's important, huh? There's a lot of you in here. You're good people. I have never challenged that. Never will, more than likely. But you have along the way figured out how God works. You have been in revival. You've seen His manifestations. So you know how to function emotionally in the presence of God. But when it comes to real trouble, you hunt for somebody with a fire pot in their hand. Don't you? Guess what I brought with me? I got a whole bunch of fire pots down here. And a stack of wood. And I am not a selfish man. I'm a right man, but I'm not selfish. I'm a forward fellow, and I'm courageous, but I'm not selfish. I know it's right to talk you into getting that fire pot in your hand. I know it's right to talk you into picking that axe up and splitting that wood. I know it's right to talk you into saddling that donkey. And I know it's right for you and I to go up that mountain together to the sacrifice. Because every one of y'all like verse 14. Because that's where the phrase Jehovah Jireh comes from. But until you walk that mountain, and you know how to cut that wood, and you know how to tend that fire and keep it burning, and you know how to put that weight on that next generation's shoulder, and you know how to faith to get all of you up that mountain, you can't use verse 14. I don't care how many times you disagree with me, it ain't going to work. But if you'll listen to me, and let's saddle that donkey in a minute, down here on this, where these fire pots, they're sitting right along this altar steaming right now. That's why you think it's hot in here. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost spoke to me, and ones in you in here that are spiritual, you know He has. I like it. Because, see, I'm a sacrificial fella. I stay on that mountain. I'm not afraid of you or it. Or any devil that try to stop me on the way. I got a knife in my hand. And I'm from Lausanne. Shouldn't ought to mess with that. Now we got to get ourselves up that hill. And we got to do something else. What's this? Isaac said to Abraham. Now this verse 7 is one of the most important verses in my Bible for me. I have discovered that verse 7 of Genesis 22 is one of the most important verses for me as a human. What? Isaac said to Abraham, his son had the right to talk to him. Didn't matter how important Abraham was. His boy had the right to talk to him. That's an important thing to catch on to. Isaac said to Abraham, Father, what did Abraham say? Where'd you hear that before? He said the same thing to his boy. Why? And he said to God, why? He wants it rehearsed in his boy's ears how to answer an important question. Because God's going to talk to Isaac in a minute. And he needs to know what to say. It ain't, yeah, but wait a minute, I got other irons in the fire. God, wait, you, what about this? What about, it's here I am. Vulnerable and ready. Not elusive and diabolical. Here I am, and my son. Now look what he said. I see the fire. See? Does it say it? Look at that. Does it say it? What had Abraham gone out of his way to show that boy? The sacrificial fire. And the importance to keep it burning. And that it was nobody else's responsibility. First thing out of his mouth, I see the fire. That's good. I see the wood. What's that? I told you already. What is it? Future fire. He could even see that. It's important. But what he couldn't see yet was the sacrifice. Where's the lamb? Now look at what Abraham said. God himself will provide. Y'all listen to me. I know life's tough out there. Every angle of the demon is used against you because you love Jesus. Your answer to that is, I knew it. It isn't cry and bow and back away. It's raise the standard of the fire of God and let the world see that you have it in your hand. Where's the lamb? God himself will provide a lamb for burnt offering. So they went on together. Do you understand that it satisfied the boy? Daddy had always told him the truth. Verse 9, when they came to the place where God told the man, Abraham, what'd he do? Here he is working again. He went again and built the altar now. Amazing man. You want faith? Do what Abraham did and you can have it. Just because you know verse 14 don't allow you the right to have it. It's if you walk 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, 13 out, then you can have 14. Now, you've never been told that in your Christian walk, more than likely. And I'm not here to disappoint you. I'm here to show you how to saddle your donkey and how to split the wood and brighten that fire up in your pot. We can do this. We can do this. Brother David, you're asking too much. I'm not asking you. Heaven is. And it's not too much. It's not too much. You can do it. You are able. You are capable. Jesus resides in you. The great Holy Ghost is in you. The abilities of God's mercy are in you. You can do this. So Abraham bound Isaac. Uh-oh. Brother Dave, you don't know what it's like to live with this brat. He's tough. I let him have too much slack and the world got a hold to him and bind him up in the Holy Ghost and hush. Don't cry to me. If you don't, you'll never get the ram in the bushes. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife and slay his son. Wow. I find that utterly amazing. Amazing. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven. Abraham, what did he say? What did he say? He did, didn't he? Had a habit of saying that, didn't he? To the right voice. Here I am, God. Now I see that you won't hold your greatest possession from me. Wow. That's pretty good, huh? I think so. So does heaven. Heaven was impressed. We ought to be. Don't lay your hand on the lad and do anything to him, for now I know that you fear and revere God, since you have not held back. You have not begrudged giving me your son, your only son. And Abraham looked around, glanced around behind, there was a ram caught in a thicket. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it on burnt offering and ascended in an ascending sacrifice. Heaven wants an ascending sacrifice out of you. Perpetual. He don't care about taking your children away from you. That's not the point. He gave his for you. Hello? He's not mad at you because you've been successful. You're in a nation that is blessed by His hand. He's not angry at you about that. He wants your heart. It says in my Bible, verse 14, so Abraham called the name of the place, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. On the mount of the Lord it will be provided. If you want the power of God, if you are looking for God's provision, you got to go to the mount to get it. Everybody else has had to. You're no exception. And I'm here to encourage you in sacrificial fire. We are still between the judgments. We still have time. It is still called today. We can do this now. Come on! The other day in another swamp in Louisiana, they brought me this baby. It was a mama again. She had that look on her face. One I can't seem to get away from. And I went over there to her because I'm not afraid. And I went to her. What is it? It's my son. What's the matter with it? He don't have any drainage in his face or in his body. You and I are born with drainage all over us to get the poisons out. The boy was born without any. And I asked her, do y'all know what she said to me yet? Anybody? What do you want, Mom? You have it yet? Please help me, Brother Dave. I just done the same thing I do all the time. Just smile. I'll do my best. But you see, if you haven't cut the wood, if you haven't saddled your donkey, if you haven't started your journey, if you haven't done the sacrifice, if you don't have the fire in your hand, what good are you? You can't give your best, can you? Hello? I realize I got y'all doing something because you done got really quiet on me. But I've been in this situation many times and I figure I'll probably be all right. Because heaven is standing right beside me. It's His word, not mine. It's His way, not mine. Abraham is His son. And He's my father. Of faith. And I will obey it. With a good attitude. And I won't tell you why, because that mama said to me, help, Brother David, you know what I need? I need that great angel of God that stands at my side to reach out and touch that baby. I don't need him to say, you're found wanting. I can't help you, David. I can't have that. And I don't make any excuses to you whatsoever. I'm not mad at you. I'm decided. I need Jesus. I need Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. And the way you get that is through sacrificial fire. Laid our hands on the same story, her, the ushers, everybody's gone. Baby, everybody. I didn't see him again. 2:30, 3:30 in the morning, that morning. The next morning. Baby starts screaming out in pain. Mama goes running like all mamas should. Mama goes in there to find a single tear running down that baby's face. First one in its life. She picked it up and looked at it, grabbed up her child and ran to the doctors. The whole doctor team had been working on that child since birth. Where have you had this child? Went to a meeting with some fella. He touched us. God touched us. This baby has creative miracle. Come on! Fire! In hand! Wood! For that baby! Told you it's serious, didn't I? I was right, wasn't I? We can do this. We can do this. You hear me? You should see the note I got. It's a handwritten note from the mama, and she signed it. You know what it says on there? Thank you for your best. How about it, huh? I want your best, Ann. So does heaven. Supposed to read verse 17. It's one of the most important. And blessed, I will bless you, and multiply, and I will multiply your descendants. Hello? Why did Abraham do the sacrifice? For the descendants. It wasn't for himself. He was good with God. He was a multi-millionaire king that loved Jesus. He was okay. Why'd he walk that mountain? Why'd he saddle that donkey? Why'd he cut that wood? Why'd he carry that fire? For multiplying descendants. You have bought because you fear the power of the devil. He's wrong. There's no way out. It's going to stay serious. I tried to light it up, can't. This is bigger than me. I'm sorry. And your seed, what they going to do? Possess the gates of their enemies. I know you want that. I know you want it. Well, I showed you a way to get it. Now, you don't have to. I'm good. But I do. It's inevitable. There's going to be another osteoporosis, more diabetes, more glaucoma, more fibromyalgia, more lupus, more Crohn's, more dead to raise. It's going to happen. I've got to have the fire in my hand. I've got to be on my way to sacrifice. And I'm not sad. Look at me. I've got a good attitude. I'm blessed. Man, I fight kings for the Holy Ghost. Last verse, verse 18. Then we're going to stand up and pray if it's all right. I've overstayed my welcome probably. And in your seed, Christ, shall all the nations of the earth be what? And by Him bless themselves because you. What did he do? Because you have heard and obeyed. Now you've heard because I've had the courage to tell you the truth. It's not up to me to obey. It's up to us together to walk the mountain. You got to walk. that lonesome valley. And you got to walk it by yourself. Ain't nobody else can walk it for you. You got to walk it by yourself. I can't do this for you. I'll help you saddle that donkey. I'll help you sharpen that axe, get that wood split. But I can't help you get that fire in your hand. And I can't make you walk that mountain. But I'm going. Now, what I wanted to say, I started to say it in the beginning and I dropped it. But I have to say it. It's done come up twice, so I'm going to say it. I need you that we go together. I am recruiting an army. And I want to lock arms in the power of God with men and women who know your own frailties and mistakes. You know you're dishonorable. You know you can't do it. But in Jesus we can. But I'm going to tell you. I have to tell you. You don't want to do it? I'm sorry. I can make it without you. Sure is easier if we do it together. Will y'all please stand up? Great Holy Ghost. Miss Anna, you going to be the singer here? Okay. I asked him what your name was, if you're wondering. Now you just come on up here and you get you one person. Who do you want? She's right behind you. I want to tell y'all thanks for letting me tell you the truth. Because it is that. Because we can do this. I know a couple of Bible verses. And they're very strict. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a chosen people. For His pleasure. We can do it. We can do it. Holy Ghost. As soon as y'all ready, what y'all gonna sing?